Most people don't get to take control of their own destiny. I motioned to the file I placed on his desk. Don't think of this as a death sentence. Think of it as an opportunity to go out the way you want to. Hands in his pockets, he walks over to the large window in his office and sighs. It's a beautiful view. It's a shame he won't be enjoying it much longer.
I didn't know I was terminal until last month. I thought the treatment was working.
Why didn't you drop out of the race when you received your diagnosis? His jaw ticks.
Kane Carter will run this town into the ground with his self-serving stance on things, if not his arrogance alone. And then, like the cancer in my lungs, he'll spread his disease to the White House. I'd rather win the race for mayor and die in office. This way, he'll be one step behind instead of one step closer to being in a position of power.
Satisfied with his response, I light a cigarette and offer him one. He looks at it longingly before declining, like he stands a chance at beating his illness. He doesn't, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Neither would he. As I suspected, our interests are aligned. When he gives me a questioning look, I say, I don't want him to be mayor either.
You never struck me as someone interested in politics. Your father wasn't.
A lot can change in 11 years. I take a long drag. And unlike your opponent, I don't want to follow in my father's footsteps. He snorts.
Didn't you take over your father's hedge fund investments after he died 4 years ago?
He left everything to me. Big difference. I shrug. In turn, I chose to focus on the investments I wanted to keep and let go of the ones I saw no potential in. Turning, he assesses me.
That's putting it mildly. Rumor has it, withdrawing your father's investments led to the demise of 5 companies and put 8,000 people across the U.S. out of a job.
That's the pesky thing about rumors. They aren't always based on truth. I stub my cigarette out in a nearby ashtray. It was 6 companies, and just shy of 10,000 employees were laid off. He tuts.
You're horrible. No wonder people call you the devil.
I never claimed to be a hero. It's not my job to rescue a sinking ship.
And yet here you are trying to offer me some kind of deal. Why?
My reasons for wanting Kane Carter to lose the election are personal.
Then I'm afraid I can't help you.
He juts his chin toward the door.
You can exit the same way you came, Mr. King.
I don't budge. You only have $50,000 in your savings account. He starts to protest, but I pull out my phone and look down at the screen. I already checked to see if you or your wife have any hidden accounts, but you don't. Your son has a few bonds from his christening 10 years ago, but they're not worth much. I whistle.
You used quite a bit of your personal money to fund your campaign. Of course, your medical expenses aren't helping your financial situation, given you recently made a checkout for $10,000 to your insurance company.
His nostrils flare.
How did?
Same way I accessed your medical records. I tuck my phone inside my pocket. But me hacking your files isn't what's important here, Mr. Covey. What I can offer you is.
You're not half as smart as your father was.
He walks over to his desk and swipes the file. Papers scatter on the floor.
In case you missed the memo you marched into my office with, I'm a dying man. There is literally nothing you can offer me, nothing that matters anymore.
I rub the stubble on my chin. You're right. I don't imagine there's much I can offer you. My gaze flickers to a framed picture of his wife and son. But what about them? For the first time since I walked into his office, he looks open to me being here. I take the opportunity to drive the nail into his coffin. Funerals are expensive, not to mention property taxes, monthly utilities, food, the medical debt you've accrued, and of course, college for your son. That $50,000 will go quickly. I predict it will last your stay-at-home wife a year at most, and that's being generous. After that, your family will be on their own.